Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. Remember, daily columns from Bernie Miklas, and you can read those and also sign up for his letter that'll come right to your inbox. If you don't want to go to the site every day and you forget to go to the site and you want to make sure you get the Bernie content, just sign up at the site at scoopswithdannymac.com. Enter in your email. It'll be directly delivered to you. In just a moment, you're going to hear from Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. Have to tell you about the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group, some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. When people hear about sports medicine, they think disabled list or surgery. It's going to keep them out a long time. Well, Doctors Bays, Crane, Wolf, experts in stem cell regenerative therapy, and there's doctors from all over the country that travel right here to learn from them. We're talking about your own body's stem cells redirected to concentrate all of their power into the joints that cause you pain. Recovery time is short. Surgery is not needed. So whether you're a high school athlete, a vet, or your joints have been worn by age, make sure you think about the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group. Schedule an appointment today, 636-778-2900. 636-778-2900. Visit them at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Hockey season is here. Let's talk it over with Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. And remember to get those subscriptions to follow Jeremy. And he is covering the St. Louis Blues day in and day out. And Jeremy, always great to hear your voice. How are things going?
Good to be here, Dan. Yeah, we finally have hockey. First day of camp on the ice. Last time we saw these Blues, they were in the bubble in Edmonton. Obviously a disappointing finish, that six-game series loss to Vancouver in the first round. But a lot of changes to talk about, a lot of excitement. And looking forward to getting going.
What do you think of just the season in general and how this is going to work with protocols, how they've set up the schedule, testing for COVID, all those things? How do you think this is set up for the NHL?
Well, they're doing the best they can, Dan, but this is going to be a lot different than the bubble success they had in Edmonton and Toronto. That was sealed, and the players did not leave the bubble. We know that they thankfully had zero positive tests in either bubble the entire time. Quite a success story for the NHL, but this is different. The players balked at going back to a bubble situation. And so what we're going to have is teams playing in their home cities, and they've set up the schedule as such where you're going to go to LA, you're going to go to Anaheim, you're going to go to San Jose, just like you did before, but you're going to play two games against those teams. And, you know, just to retract part of that, San Jose not allowing the Sharks to play home there. So they're still looking for a home. But the point being, you're going to go to these cities and play multiple games. So they're trying to cut down on the health concern that way.
In terms of the Blues coming off the bubble, they weren't very good there, including goaltender Jordan Binnington. More on him in a moment. But just the Blues getting the rust off, really for the entire NHL, even for teams that weren't in the bubble. But for the Blues specifically, how do you think that translates into a very quick training camp and then a drop of the puck against Colorado on the opening night?
Yeah, Dan, I think they realize now that they just weren't prepared for the bubble. They wanted to get to their game quickly, but they just kind of took that whole buildup to the bubble kind of casually, like we'll be able to turn the switch, and they never did. And I think they found themselves down against a good Vancouver team and then just couldn't recover. But I think they've turned that page. And the biggest thing is this team is so different. I think if you were bringing back that entire roster and maybe be some hangover, because face it, you're going to be playing in empty arenas still, and the Blues admitted that was tough for them. So I think if you had that exact same roster back, you'd probably reassemble here and say, gosh, last time we were all together, that was tough. We're going to have to play a lot better. But you look at this roster and a lot of new faces. We're going to see Mike Hoffman. We're going to see Torrey Krug. We're going to see some fresh rookies coming into to the lineup. I think you look at Jordan Kyrou, maybe he gets some more time. Robert Thomas in the top six. Billy Huso is going to be the backup goalie. A new captain with Ryan O'Reilly. So, Dan, we're going to see a completely different makeup, and I think it's going to make it a lot easier for this Blues team to turn the page.
So they lose Petro, but they pick up Krug. You also add Hoffman. I would assume that really, really helps your power play.
It really does. This power play is going to be fun to watch. And let's keep in mind, Dan, that they were number three in the league last year. That was under Mark Savard. He's assistant coach that was in charge of the power play. A lot of success. It was fun to watch. Mark Savard leaves after 1 year with the Blues. Jim Montgomery comes in, the former Dallas coach. He's going to be in charge of this power play. And wow, did Doug Armstrong find him some tools. Mike Hoffman, fourth in the NHL in power play goals. I believe it's the last 4 years. And Torrey Krug, the past couple of years, he's number two among all defensemen with power play goals. So he's been terrific in Boston. Of course, the Blues got to see that during the Stanley Cup final. So he's going to have a lot of weapons. The question I have, are there enough pucks to go around? It's a good thing that Vladimir Tarasenko is going to miss. You don't look at it like that normally, but if Vladimir Tarasenko is out there, he wants the power play, he wants the puck. It's going to be tough with all the shooters the Blues have.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic is my guest. Turning the page on Petro, what do you think that's going to be like? A new captain, obviously a guy that logged a ton of minutes in different situations, but just turning the page in general.
Well, I thought, you know, if you lost Alex Pietrangelo, that was going to leave some sort of shock throughout the first couple weeks, month of the season. I really did. But we all know what kind of leader Ryan O'Reilly is. So I think I talked to Craig Berube a couple days ago, Dan, and he broke it down into two parts. He said that with Alex on the ice, they bring in Torrey Krug, and he's not the same type of player, but he can provide you that offense. So they feel like Torrey Krug can help fill the void with Alex Pietrangelo leaving in that aspect. And then with the leadership group, Alex Pietrangelo has been a great captain. We saw what he did that second half of that Stanley Cup season, helping steer that ship after being in last place in the league. But Ryan O'Reilly has been looked at as a guy who could wear the C since he's been here in St. Louis. He's going to have a good leadership with Braden Schenn, with Colton Parayko. And so I think the Blues, at least according to Craig Berube, feel that they can fill that void.
What kind of player is Torrey Krug in your opinion?
He's terrific. Phenomenal offensively. He's exactly what you want in today's NHL. He's undersized, so that kind of forces his hand in terms of being a guy who can jump up in the rush, make those passes, but then strike. Like, he's got a great shot, and he can play physical even though he's an undersized guy. And, Dan, I talked to a couple NHL coaches for a piece a week or two ago at The Athletic. All of them said Torrey Krug underrated defensively. There's so much focus on his lack of size that you just don't give him enough when you're watching him play defense. If a larger defenseman makes a mistake, you say, oh, he made a mistake. If Torrey Krug makes it, you say it's because of his size. He might not be a top pair guy who can play 25 minutes a night, but he's a guy who can definitely give you top 4 minutes.
A lot of focus always on the goaltender, but in particular, Jordan Binnington, who did not play well in the bubble, but prior to that was having a good season. So he's in the final year of his contract. This is a big year for him, isn't it?
It is. You know, after that Stanley Cup, there was a lot of debate. Would he sign a long-term deal or would they go short-term? And they didn't necessarily talk about that long-term. They decided to go with the 2 years. This will be the second year of that contract for Jordan Binnington. And I wouldn't say that he has a lot to prove because he was a good goalie last year, 30 wins, one of only three goalies in the league that had 30 wins, Dan. But in terms of having the spotlight solely on him, there's no Jake Allen to back him up anymore. I felt like Jake coming in last year did a phenomenal job just holding things together when Jordan wasn't playing great. Well, Jake's in Montreal now after the trade. And the backup's Ville Husso. He's dressed up for 15 games in the NHL as a backup. He's never played. He's a fourth-round draft pick who's a good prospect, but we're going to have to wait to see until he gets in here. But even if you're a talented goalie like Jordan Binnington, it always helps to have somebody behind you pushing it. And we don't know about Ville yet, so we'll have to see. But a contract year for Jordan Binnington, 56-game season, he's going to have to carry the load.
In terms of how they, you know, with the schedule condensed and a lot of games in a short amount of time and how they approach using these goaltenders, it's not the days of Grant Fuhr playing every game, which we literally saw him play every game. So how do you think they approach using the goaltenders in terms of, you know, 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5, those kind of things?
Yeah, I talked to Craig Berube about that just a couple days ago, Dan, and he said that the early part of the season, it's just going to be a feeling out process. Remember, they have 10 sets of back-to-back throughout the regular season. So they said, Craig Berube said that what they'll do is it'll be a feeling out process early on in terms of get Binnington probably the bulk, spot, start, Ville Husso, see what he's like. But then at some point, they're going to get to a situation where they map it out. And that's typically what they do when they have two veteran netminders like a Binnington and a Jake Allen, kind of map it out a couple weeks in advance. They're not there yet with Husso. They want to see how he looks early on before they get to that stage.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic, my guest, the Blues starting training camp. And I want to ask you about Ryan O'Reilly getting the C. I loved his comments. He's saying, hey, this is a new role for me, new way to look at leadership. Your approach on what you've seen with Ryan O'Reilly is now the captain of the Blues.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly to me is a guy who was basically born to do this. And I know that he's been with a couple other teams where probably that leadership was in question. Ryan O'Reilly, in fact, in Buffalo talked about losing his passion for the game. You know, people might hear my comments and think, how is that a born leader? But this is a guy who, ever since I saw him show up in a Blues uniform, has done everything he can on the ice, off the ice, taking younger players under his wing. You know, I've seen a lot of things behind the scenes that there's just too many to go into detail with each of them. But a guy who doesn't mind taking the extra time to show everybody the right way how to do things. And I think that's exactly what the Blues are looking for. Doug Armstrong has made the comment, when you worry about the team more than yourself, that's who they want wearing the C. Ryan O'Reilly is completely deserving of this honor.
In terms of just a player, give me a player that you're excited to watch come out of this little camp and maybe the start of the season has a different role and you think can emerge. Is there a player that you're kind of targeting that you really want to see?
Well, the one that comes to mind right off the top here is Robert Thomas. And I know he's been around three seasons. This will be the third season. He has shown glimpses of being a terrific player, a star in this league. I think he can be. And I talked to Craig Berube about him. I said, will he open up camp in a top six role? He said, yes. I said, Craig, will it be at center? And he said, yes, he'll be given that opportunity. It's his to lose. So this is what fans have been clamoring for a couple of years. They'd like to see him playing with Tarasenko. They won't get that early on with Tarasenko out. But Robert Thomas, if he starts on one of the top two lines at center, you'll see a lot of happy fans looking forward to seeing what he can bring this season.
Couple more questions. I'll let you go. Great info here. In terms of Vladimir Tarasenko, what do you think the best case scenario is for him in 2021?
Well, the best thing is that, and I know fans don't like to hear this, but the fact that the season was delayed, you know, if they would have started in December, you would have missed at least 3 months of Vladimir Tarasenko and potentially more. But the fact that the season won't start until January 13th, Vladimir Tarasenko's reevaluation timetable is in February, so the Blues are going to take a look at him at that point. That'll be 5 months post-surgery. That doesn't mean he'll be ready necessarily, but in the past, his two other surgeries, that timetable has been pretty accurate in terms of getting back on the ice and slipping into a game. So we saw what happened last time. He wasn't quite completely 100%, needed the other operation. But if they can get him back sometime in February, March, he isn't going to miss as many games had they started that season in December.
It's going to be fun to see how this division plays out. You've got Colorado. We know they're very good. The Blues are very good. I can't wait to see the Blues and the Golden Knights with Petro now with Vegas. How do you think this shakes out in that division?
Yeah, a lot of debate. I know when fans first started to hear word that the Blues are going to be in the Pacific Division, they were really upset. And I understand why. The Blues are Central Division team, centrally located. But one or two of these teams, in fact, had to go out to the Pacific to make it work. The Blues actually were in favor of it. Talked to Doug Armstrong. He likes the fact that once you get out west, there's not a lot of travel in between cities. Also, they like the fact that if there's off days, which they're going to have, that they're going to have the warmer climate to be able to do some things with the team. But in terms of the competition, you got to think that it's top heavy. It's more top heavy than we see in that Central Division. You have Vegas and Colorado, two terrific teams. In the Central, you have Tampa Bay, and then it's everybody else after that. So they're going to take the top four teams in each division, Dan. So you got to like the Blues' chances making the top four out west, and then it's going to be a dogfight against those teams. Like Vegas and Colorado. But, man, you think about seeing Alex Pietrangelo, Ryan Reeves eight times and what kind of battle that's going to become over the course of this season. These might not be natural rivalries. You're going to miss seeing Chicago for the first time in decades. You're not going to play Nashville. Don't get a chance to relive the Detroit Red Wings rivalry. But this is a situation where these teams are going to play so many times. I'm sure Blues fans are going to get sick and tired of seeing that Golden Knights logo and that Avalanche logo in here in a couple months.
How will the Blues handle the taxi squad in terms of what position they'll carry and how are teams approaching that type of situation?
Yeah, so you're going to have 40 players in camp. That's 36 skaters and four goaltenders. And then by opening night, you'll have to get down to max 23 roster. You'll have six on the taxi squad. This is going to be a good thing for the Blues to have those extra guys around. Now, we all know the reason for it is because of COVID. You need guys on hand who are able to jump into the lineup if need be. You can't just fly a guy out from St. Louis to L.A. and get him in the lineup. So they'll have that taxi squad, but it'll also be at Craig Berube's disposal to call guys off that taxi squad, just like you were calling a guy up from the minor leagues. Activate them. You'll still have waivers and same situation you'll go through during a normal regular season, but you'll have the guys with you on the team if you want to make some switches. That could bode well if, say, a guy like Scott Prunovich is on that taxi squad and they want to get him a look with the big club. He'll be right there.
What are you hearing? I'll wrap it up with this about fans in the stands in St. Louis eventually, and then fans in certain municipalities, you know, down in Dallas. You're in Texas, or if you look at the Florida teams, you know, they're opened up in many states, at least partially. So what are you hearing about fans, generally speaking, with the NHL in the buildings, and then fans with the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, some arenas are going to be limited capacity, and some are still in a situation where they can't have fans at all. And the situation with the Blues, they've announced that they won't have any fans until late January at the earliest. So you're looking at about four home games where you expect no fans, and then they could open it up to limited capacity. You know, Dan, I know that early on, that's what everybody's going to be looking at. Where can you play? Who's going to open it up to fans? But the big question mark here is throughout the season, you know, who, what kind of COVID situations are we going to experience? Are they going to have cities or teams have to shut down their home games because of the cases? You could have a situation like a city like Kansas City, where it's just a city that can host some games if need be. I know that's been talked about. So I think once they get rolling, that's going to be the bigger issue, keeping these venues open. And eventually, if those numbers go down and they're doing a good job with all the protocol and keeping as many people as they can healthy, then slowly but surely getting more and more fans back into their rinks.
Yeah, and that's the great news about this is that the NHL is back. The Blues are on the ice. Training camp has started. And Jeremy Rutherford back at it with The Athletic. Loved your work during the shutdown and during the bubble and waiting for hockey. It continues at The Athletic. Hey, JR, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Dan. Thank you.
Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic.